blew them away. Nobody probably helped himself, certainly not from a tight end standpoint, nobody helped themselves more at the combine than Chris Gregg. The top overall performance in the 40 for tight ends, the vertical leap, the broad jump, best among them, and I think he was maybe second or third in the bench press as well. So the guy went down and freaked him at the combine. The same thing we expected Nile Davis to do, Chris Gregg did.
Man, I think the interesting thing about Gregg, and I think that people have to remember, is that the NFL is more on potential than actually what you've done in college. And I think that, you know, with his skill set and his size, I think he has a really high upside. And, you know, just as a former Razorback and as an Arkansas fan, man, I was really proud of the way those guys went out and competed, and they really represented the state well.
Had to redshirt after a dislocated ankle. He had a kind of a nagging injury last year that kept him off the field for most of the season. We're going to talk to him about the injury issues. And really, to me, he and Nile have a very similar story. Clearly, when they're healthy, they're as good as you're going to find.
Right, yeah. And I think that and even the deal with Nile, man, I was really happy to see him go out and perform at that level. And honestly, it maybe helps him a little bit because he can just say, look, I wasn't healthy. And when I am healthy, I think the film demonstrates what he could do. And then going out and running a 4.3 at 220-something odd pounds in his size, man, it's phenomenal. And hopefully that'll push his draft stock up, because we know with running backs, you got to get that money up front. So hopefully the NFL won't get a chance to get him for nothing. He'll get paid, and hopefully he'll go and have a long and productive career.
Yeah, and we've talked about it. I mean, again, the value of a running back has gone down over the last several years. Just because of the liability there with their health. It's a tough position to play. We've seen Felix Jones, Darren McFadden battle injuries for years and years. Now, the fact that, you know, Felix has run behind a subpar offensive line for most of his time in Dallas hasn't helped. Darren's actually had a pretty good offensive line at different times through his time in Oakland, but they haven't had much of a passing threat.
Yeah, but I think McFadden's style is just, he's just such a fierce runner that, you know, he takes a lot of hits, and it's really hard for those guys to stay healthy. And, you know, now, you know, stepping away from college, when you start looking at the business side of it, you know, getting those 5 and 6 year contracts, man, a lot of those guys don't ever see the last 5th or 6th year of that contract, and being healthy at the running back position is so tough. But then again, running backs are a dime a dozen. You know, if you're a big offensive lineman or an offensive tackle where a premium is on it, then, yeah, you're going to get a long-term contract. But, you know, we found that running backs are kind of easier to come by in the draft. So, well, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and the longevity of the offensive lineman is so much better, too. So if you're a really good one, they'll pay you top dollar because they know they can keep you around for a long time, barring some sort of weird injury.
Right.
Running backs, and I remember being a kid, and you saw those guys that were freakish from a physicality standpoint. You think about guys like Eric Dickerson, both speed and strength, and you think about Bo Jackson. You think about guys like,
Christian Okoye.
Well, there's a guy that was a total freak. He looked more like an offensive lineman. He would be big by tight end standards today. So, who am I thinking of? The guy from Houston.
Earl Campbell.
I mean, those guys, but guys that could dominate physically that were, like, intimidating.
Right.
And we've talked about the growth, the speed, the size of linebackers and guys in the NFL, I guess, all across the board.
Right.
Those guys don't exist as far as their ability to dominate. We saw Darren do it at the college level, and you can do it even in the SEC. But at the NFL level, everybody's so big and strong, you cannot run that kind of style, it seems like, and stay in the league for a long time.
But the thing that's changed is that athletes, even at the junior high and high school level, they're training, they're performing, they're doing a lot more sports performance type training. And you know, actually, you do see, you know, guys at that level, but there's just more of them. I think a guy made an interesting point, Michael Jordan in basketball. You know, when Jordan came along, he was just better, just physically better than everyone else. But now when you look at the league, there's Kobe, there's LeBron. There are a lot of guys that may not necessarily be on Michael Jordan's level, but are really close to being the same athletically. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we found, is that guys are just so much better across the board that it's really hard to have one guy that's just so much more dominant.
There is some similarity between an athlete and a model. You do have to win a genetic lottery to be good at what you do. Now, the difference is, if you're an athlete, you got to continue to work. And then you see the guys who are among the most talented and happen to be the hardest workers, too, the Jerry Rice, the Michael Jordan, the Kobe Bryants, the LeBron James. I think I would even put him in that group. He may not have the killer instinct, but he definitely works as hard or harder than anybody else. When you are among the elite from a talent standpoint and you work as hard or harder than everybody else, you're going to rise to the top like we've seen those guys do.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you look at those guys, because you think about guys that don't have necessarily the athletic ability, they're able to stay on par with those guys by improving their skill level and those skill sets. So when you see a guy who does have that athletic ability and they'll go ahead and put in the time and their craft to develop and to get their skill set up to that top level, then definitely that's when you'll see that big separation that we've seen maybe in the past from some of those older guys.
And at the other end of the spectrum, there are guys like us who did not win the genetic lottery.
And we had to work extremely, extremely, extremely hard.
I didn't make it very far, but you, fortunately, you did. So, yeah, if only you'd been 6'3", there's no telling what would have happened with you. Maybe you wouldn't have worked as hard, though. Maybe you'd have been lazy. You'd have been fast and tall. Maybe you wouldn't have worked as hard.
Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of funny for me because the size, I was always the smallest guy. So it's like some guys, you know, it's like every team that I played on, I was absolutely the smallest guy. So it wasn't that big of an adjustment to go out there and play around big guys. Where some guys who come from high school where they're the biggest guy and they're the most physical, then it's a transition. You know, for me, it was just
more of the same.
Yeah, just keep doing what you're doing and run fast, you know. So, but, you know, definitely I think that NFL Combine, I just love watching it. I love seeing those guys, their athletic ability. I love seeing them outside the pads and, you know, just overall taking all that in.
I've sort of come around on that. I didn't used to be a big fan of the combine. I still think there's way too much emphasis put on it, but I do enjoy watching it now. It is fun to watch some of the best athletes in the world perform. And, I didn't see any video of the 225, the bench press stuff. Do they show that?
Man, I think they may have showed some of that on the NFL channel. But actually, I didn't catch much of that the 225 test either.
It's incredible. Those guys are amazing.
Man, those guys are monsters.
Also today, in addition to Chris Gregg, we will talk to Doug Brodess, Bleacher Report lead basketball writer. Well, absolutely 100. I'm not sure of many things. I'm sure we're going to talk to Doug today. We missed our window yesterday. We were in the middle of a vicious cockfight yesterday. We had a couple of roosters going at it. We had Tiger Bay got into it with a guy named Ira.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that online last night. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was a good fight. I'm glad they weren't here in person because it would have been quite the battle. The undersized Ira definitely wanted to take it to Tiger Bay.
Definitely.
And then Chris Kromas is sending up smoothies. Jason Alley will join us in studio from Tropical Smoothie Cafe. A spinach kale smoothie. Mr. Health Nut, we're going to put you to the test. Are you willing to go that route? All I know is if Tropical Smoothie makes it, it's got to be pretty good.
Man, I'll try it.
That's what I said.
I will try
it. When he told me he was sending them, I'm like, oh, dude, I don't know about all that.
It's probably going to be pretty good, though. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he wouldn't send it up here if it wasn't going to be the bomb, absolutely. So I'm looking forward to it.
Then we got fish tacos, too.